So they're set once again for the Ladbrokes Cox Plate.
On Saturday.
And they're racing.
We celebrate the 100th running of the race where legends are made. Ladbrokes Cox Plate 2020.
She is a legend. She's a wonder. Maccabi Diva wins the Cox Plate.
Now, we decide which was the greatest Cox Plate winning performance of all time.
Cometh the hour. Cometh the legend.
The champion's got his head in front. And he'll win it. Sally Quinn's the Cox Plate.
What a champion. The crowd roars and guns in, wins a length to Walshon. And he's got it. He's home to Ulzify. He'll win. The $1 million man's won it. Keeps the town a half length. Keeps the town. Wins it an extra drover. Strawberry Rage won it by four lengths. And Bone Crusher races into equine immortality.
And Listen Up takes the Cox Plate. Wins it a half length. Front super in third. Driving. Super.
The earth starts to rumble. Leighton Power takes the Cox Plate.
Fields of Omar. You've done it. But Maccabi Diva is clear. But Sagathick wins his second. Wicks kept going by Hugh Bowman. What a win. Lee Brassier stomps up. And the land of the rising sun wins the Cox Plate. Greatness. Wicks has done it.
Leading the panel in a Racing Pulse Spring Carnival special, Michael Felgate.
It's Equine Utopia.
It certainly is Equine Utopia when we look back at the legends that have been made as winners of the WS Cox Plate. And over the past few weeks, we have been reliving some of those legendary moments here on Racing Pulse and also running a competition for the RSN listeners to pick the greatest Cox Plate winning performance of all time. The winner of that competition will be announced tomorrow after 9 o'clock. And if you have picked the same one that our panel comes up with today, you are in the running to win a VIP day at next year's Ladbrokes Cox Plate. And we have a star-studded panel assembled. The smartest minds in racing, Michael Brow, the CEO of the Moonee Valley Racing Club. Greg Carpenter, the man who knows everything about racing and the chief handicapper here. Brian Martin, who called 28 Cox Plates and also, just for good measure, part-owned two winners in a Cox Plate as well. And Dwayne Dunn, 25-time Group 1 winner, who has ridden in numerous Cox Plates as well, are here to decide the greatest Cox Plate performance of all time. No pressure, gents. Good morning to you, Michael. Firstly, how are you?
Yeah, Michael, thanks for having us on. Looking forward to the next hour and listening to the panel selection as to the greatest Cox Plate winner of all time.
Greg, this is no easy task.
It isn't, Michael. In fact, it's a question there is either no correct answer to or there is many correct answers. There have been such a cavalcade of absolute superstars of the Cox Plate since it was first run in 1922, and this Saturday we head to the 100th running. You could give 10 different answers and they would all have a reasonable prospect of being looked as a correct answer to this question.
And Brian, for the man who called so many of these wonderful moments, you've had to rule with your head, not your heart, as far as this comes, an old foo being involved. How are you, BM?
I'm fine, thanks, Michael. Yeah, look, it's a great privilege to be involved in something like this because there's something special about this race. Just take away the food, take away that just for one moment. Each and every year it delivers something very special, not only in racing but in sport. And I've had the good, pleasure of being there as a teenager when Tobin Bronze won and I was on the flat, and I'll never forget that copper-coloured chestnut flashing to the line and thinking, wow, how good is this? And you just look at the roll call, as you mentioned. I think the wonderful thing about the race is, and a great racing man in Bill Stutt, who was chairman for many, many years of the Moonee Valley Racing Club, as he said with the Cox Plate, it's the right race at the right time, underweight for age, at the right distance. And they got it so right. And he said that, I think, back in the late 70s. And he was right. And it just never lets us down.
And Dwayne, as the member of the panel who's actually been in there and competed in this great race, it's got an uncanny ability to produce champions time after time.
Yes, it certainly does, Michael. It's a race that's eluded me. I've got the knife and forks, the bread and butter plate on the side, and I've even got the wooden spoon, but I just haven't got the plate to sit in the middle. Hopefully it'll be coming shortly.
Absolutely. Well, we asked the listeners, and it has been unbelievable, the response, and we have been able to break it down to a final top 10, of which you gentlemen have chosen your top 5 contenders. So we will listen to the top 5 after breaking it down from the top 10, which included Bone Crusher, Kingston Town's Win in 82, Dulcify, Winx, Superimpose, So You Think, Might and Power, Sunline and Maccabi Diva. These are the top five.
Kingston Town can't win. Then L.A. Bijou and the three-year-old Grosvenor running on. My X-Men took the lead from Fearless Pride. Grosvenor coming down the outside is after them. My X-Men in front. Grosvenor and Kingston Town flashing. He might win yet the champ. Grosvenor took the lead off. Kingston Town swapping them. What a run. Kingston Town wins it a neck to Grosvenor. Bone Crusher responds to the whip. The roars of the crowd. He races up to our Waverley Star. 100 out. Bone Crusher, our Waverley Star. Stride for stride. Nothing in it. Our Waverley Star, the rails, Bone Crusher the outside, and Bone Crusher races into equine immortality.
Down the outside, Superimpose. Let's a Lope in the middle. Prince Salieri getting a run. Better loosen up and Superimpose. Let's a Lope in front. Superimpose driving. Super. I think Super and Oge to Let's a Lope on the Cox Plate.
It's Maccabi Diva, Fields of Omar and Lateria. Well, the great mares hit the front. Maccabi Diva from Lateria. Fields of Omar fighting back. But it's Maccabi Diva in front of Lateria. Fields of Omar coming back in the middle. But Maccabi Diva, she's the champ. She wins the Cox Plate. Three quarters Lateria.
But Winx has raced away around the home turn. She's put two, three lengths on Hartnell. Awesome Rock, Vadimos battling away, and then came Yankee Rose. But it's all Winx in the straight. Four, five lengths in front of Hartnell. A good battle going on for the Miners. But this is a blitz. It's a Winx blitz. Two in a row, and she joins the all-time greats of the turf. Winx has won it by six lengths to Hartnell. Yankee Rose third. Vadimos Renton fourth.
Five legendary performances in their own right. It's going to be ridiculously hard to try and separate them. Kingston Town winning his third in 82. Bone Crusher in the race of the century, 86. Superimpose in that unbelievable 92 Cox Plate. Maccabi Diva in 05. And Winx winning by eight lengths in 2017. I'm going to put it to you first, Dwayne. Of those five, who do you think was the best performance?
I think Bone Crusher, our Waverley Star battle was outstanding, and that's really got me up and about with racing and, you know, this Wait for Age great event.
What was it about that race? Was it the fact that they took off so long, out so far out?
Yeah, they took off at the school and there was just nothing between them. It was a ding-dong battle and it was just a fight till the end. Yeah, it was a heavyweight bout that came out with a superstar on top.
Greg, you would have been there, or were you in WA watching when Bone Crusher and R. Waverley Star won? What are your memories?
In Western Australia and watching the race from afar, Michael, I missed that one. Certainly was there the day Superimpose won his race and the drama after of it, of the protest. But certainly with R. Waverley Star and Bone Crusher, the two horses that took off so far from home. And I think that is what made that race so great. The pressure went on at least a half a mile out. They singled out and duelled it out all the way down the straight. I think in one of the northerly victories, when Sunline really put the foot to the pedal down the back straight and they were low flying, this was a similar race where they really cranked it up at the half mile. And they were both out on their feet at the end. It was bravery and courage that got Bone Crusher to the line in the end and the will to win. But certainly our Waverley Star was magnificent in defeat. One of the great contests, it's been described a number of times as like a heavyweight world title fight. And that's the way it ended up. It wasn't a knockout, but it was certainly in the end a clear points victory for Bone Crusher, the great New Zealand horse.
VM, would you have Bone Crusher, R. Waverley Star on top, or is there another race that has the top gong as far as you're concerned?
Michael, I probably wouldn't have it on top, but it has to be in the top five at least because of the pure drama of it. There was a fantastic build-up between these two New Zealanders. The way that Mooney Valley, that particular year under Bill Studd and Ian McEwen, and Raceplay, the marketing company which I was a part of, and we built it as the race of the century because of the way it was all pointing, and the race just took it to a whole new level. And I remember watching the race, Bill Collins called the race, we're both working at 3DB, so I was down doing the interviews, and watching the race, particularly up the straight, just past the winning post, and seeing those two horses, they were rocking and rolling up the straight, they were that tired. As Greg said, they were like prize boxes, heavyweight boxes. Neither had a punch left in the last 20 metres. And the excitement, the euphoria around it after the race was just amazing. And I remember Pat Lawler, the chief steward, coming down and virtually blowing a whistle and saying, now listen, let's clear this area. Let's get a bit of normality back into this whole situation, because those of us that were there couldn't believe what we'd witnessed. And it was married, of course, by that brilliant broadcast call by Bill Collins. He was word perfect. So it had everything. It had absolutely everything. And it's a race that's etched in time, etched in history, and should remain there too.
Michael, you got to witness the Mighty Weeks and be so close to her performances. That win by 8 lengths in 2016. Do you see that as her greatest performance of the four Cox Plates?
I do, Michael, because the build-up, obviously, coming into her second Cox Plate win was the supposed match race between her and Hartnell. And all credit to Chris and to Hugh and the team, they certainly built it up as a match race. I had the good fortune of coming out here to the Valley on Caulfield Cup morning. Chris, of course, wasn't happy with the three-horse race that they'd had out at Caulfield the week earlier when she won the Caulfield Stakes, and felt that she needed to have another hard hit out, and there was a very select group of us here that morning. And to see her work, it was the best piece of work I've ever seen in my life. She came off the camber, she lowered down, she pinned the ears back, ran through the line, and we turned to each other, the guys that were here that morning, and we said, this won't be a match race, this will be a demolition. And that's how it turned out. She set a Cox Plate record winning margin, and I think that was the day that she stamped herself as the best horse in the world.
Yeah, the match race with J-Mac on Hartnell, who I remember he said he looked across and saw Hugh Bowman on Winks and said, I can't believe this, I'm in trouble here. Dwayne, which of Winks' four Cox Plates was your most memorable?
I think you hit the nail on the head there. That, you know, when she just streaked away, I was fortunate enough to ride in all of them that she won, and just the roar of the crowd, and yeah, we were like looking at Hugh and going, he's just sitting in second gear and just turns her loose, and away she went. But Humidor did get close to her one day, but she was never going to be denied. She was always going to fight him off, but yeah, she's just a wonder mare.
But yeah, the 92 Cox Plate will go down in history as one of the most thrilling and the most controversial with the fall. But you look through the horses that were in that Cox Plate, there's an argument to be made that it was the greatest field assembled in a Cox Plate.
Yeah, it was. And I think it still stands the test of time, Michael, because 12 of the 14 were all Group 1 winners. Many three-year-olds had come through the classic races out of New South Wales, Queensland, etc. And I think collectively, I remember doing the stats on the race leading into the race, working at 3UZ at the time, and the prize money was, I think, a tick over $20 million. So collectively, they'd won over $20 million 28 years ago going into that race. And Naturalism had all the right lead-up form. He'd won the Fian. He just won the Turnbull. He just skated through every feature race. He ran odds on, and basically all form pundits and racing fans believe that Naturalism only had to turn up to win the race. But horse racing doesn't go that way, as we know. And 600 out, there was like a tripwire for some reason. Palace Rain, who was right on the pace, if you watch the Stewards film, he just tumbled. Down he went. Naturalism over the top. Citizen, the Caulfield Cup winner of 1990, ran at the back of him. Rough Habit got knocked out of it. And it was carnage. Thank God every human survived and every horse survived. But out the back was the eight-year-old who'd won the Canberra Cup Superimpose, and Greg Hall minding their own business, and they just circumnavigated the field. They missed all the trouble. At the same time, Let's a Lope had taken off, and she'd been wide from the 1,200-metre mark, but she was laying in. And for a race to have so much in 2 minutes and then sort of go to the stewards' room with protest, it had it all. And I really believe the race was saved by the greatness of Superimpose getting up in a photo finish over another great mare in Let's a Lope. So that race just absolutely had it all, won by a grand campaigner in Superimpose. So, yeah, it's one of the all-time greats, no doubt about that.
We were lucky enough to chat to Glenn Boss earlier in the week about Maccabi Diva's amazing Cox Plate win, and It was a remarkable lead up, and Greg is the man who had handicapped her on 58 kilos in the Melbourne Cup that year. And watching the Cox Plate and the ease and dominance of that, were you sitting there thinking, I may not have given her enough in this Melbourne Cup? How did you rate that Cox Plate performance from Mackayvie Diva?
So many memorable moments from that victory, Michael, and my own emotions after the race I'll touch on in a minute. But what stamps it for me is just that, and Brian called the race so brilliantly, a wall of horses taking off in the last 400 metres. As they approached the corner, there was a wall of eight horses from Hotel Grand, the Spring Champion Stakes winner down on the rail. Mackayvie Diva, sixth from the fence. On her outside, God's Own, who just won the Caulfield Guineas. An excellent for Michael Coleman, the New Zealand Derby winner. Eighth and widest of those eight horses. It was later dubbed, I think, by Gerard Waitley, an equine tsunami. And it was Glenn Boss and Mackayvie Diva who were riding that wave, because the other seven were under pressure. And there was Bossy just sitting so quietly, looked to the left, looked to the right, and knew what he had left under him with the great mare. And she surged clear and ended up winning that race very softly. It was important for Mackayvie Diva. We'll always remember that she won three Melbourne Cups. But champions win the Cox Plate. And that was on her resume that day. There'd been so much build-up about the weight she was given in the Melbourne Cup, 58. Would she run? Would she not? And when they went past the post and Bossy did the post-race interview coming back to scale, when that interview was finished and she started cantering back to the grandstand, I stood with the other 30,000-plus people and just gave her a standing ovation. And when she came back to that little winner's circle, I just sat down and thought to myself, after that, why would you run in the Melbourne Cup? She's just achieved absolute greatness and put a full stop on her career. But they obviously pushed on, and she ended up winning a third Melbourne Cup. But for me, that race, with eight horses across the track, her becoming a Cox Plate winner and then going on to win a third Melbourne Cup, which had never been done before, was just magnificent. And as I said, a couple of internationals, Super Kid and Grays In, two-star three-year-olds, the Spring Champion and the Caulfield Guineas winner. It was a solid, outstanding Cox Plate, not like Super Imposer's depth and quality of field that he beat, but the way she won it was just imperious.
And Kingston Town in 82, BM, you would have been there that day. The last summary before I get all of your thoughts on the best. And I'm going to give Michael Brown, as he's the CEO, the casting vote, because not surprisingly, I think everyone's thinking different names as the greatest performance. But just a word on Kingston Town in 82 and completing the treble, the hat-trick of Cox Plate wins, BM.
Yeah, it was a magic day, and that's what Moonee Valley and the Cox Plate does. It's something about, we keep talking about the amphitheatre, the Coliseum of racing. It's the box with the four corners, and it's so unique, and it produces the best horse on the day for the Weight for Age Championship of Australian Racing in a world-recognised great race. And Kingston Town, as Bill said in the call, I was watching the race with binoculars in the press stand, and he wasn't going well at the 500 metre mark, and Bill made the brave call of saying Kingston Town can't win. And if you watch the race, and we all have many, many times, he was going nowhere. But only champions can do what he did, and I think Les Carline, the beautiful wordsmith, said he clawed the ground. That's what Kingston Town did. He clawed the ground in the straight to get up in the last couple of bounds and win. And win with a little bit of ease as well. And that day at Moonee Valley, again, it provided the wonderful theatre that really Moonee Valley provides most times. And 40 minutes earlier, Manicato won the $1 million prize money mark. And it was just great to be there. And 40 minutes after Manicato was Kingston Town in his third Cox Plate. So, again, that's etched in my mind. I'm glad I was there. It was one of those I was there moments. And I'm glad I was there for Kingston Town in 82.
All right, gents, there are so many apologies that need to be made to the mighty Sunline. SMS is saying, how can we not have Sunline in there? Northerly, the Fighting Tiger, it's almost the impossible task. But Michael Brown will have the deciding vote. Dwayne, put your argument why it should be Bone Crusher.
Oh, it was a heavyweight bout that came out. They both walked off the track with nothing more to give. It was just a real spectacle to watch, a big build-up, and just such a great fight. And to see them come off the track like that was just something your hairs just stand up on the back of your neck and go, wow, what a fight that was and what a great result.
Greg, who's your selection?
Well, Michael, you could easily choose any one of the five, but the great moment for me was, as I said, that equine tsunami taking off with 400 metres to go when Mackayvie Diva won the 2005 Cox Plate and stamped her greatness in Australian racing.
And BM?
I think the greatest moment I've seen in the race, and I was there as a spectator, and I said to Michael Browell after the race, if I don't see another Cox Plate, it won't matter because I've never seen anything like Winx. And I remember getting out of my seat 600 from home. I didn't have a bet when she started to move Winx to create history and win her fourth Cox Plate. Mm. To do it is just extraordinary. We'll never see it in our lifetime. And she, to me, not because it's so current, she's the greatest Cox Plate winner I've seen.
All right, Michael, you've got the tough decision. Who are you going to anoint as the greatest performance in the Cox Plate's history?
It's been great listening, Michael, and terrific to hear the thoughts of Greg, Wayne and Brian. I think Brian just summed it up beautifully then, and you stop and you think, if you were going to build a statue of a Cox Plate champion, who would you immortalise in bronze? And I would have to say that I'd give the nod to Winx. And to win four Cox Plates, just an incredible effort to scale that mountain, I guess, the Kingston Town first scale back in 82 when he won his third. But for the connections to come back and take on a fourth Cox Plate, the legend of Winx will live on forever. And I think she is befitting the greatest Cox Plate champion of all time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. So any of the RSN listeners who entered the Cox Plate legendary competition, if you selected Winx, you are now in the running for a VIP experience like no other at next year's Cox Plate, and I will announce the winner of that tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Just quickly before I let you go, gents, leave us with the winner of this year's Cox Plate. Dwayne?
Armoury for me. I think it's a class horse and, yeah, really nice horse.
BM?
I want to be on Probabil. Hopefully the rain doesn't come and it's not too soft, but I just think Probabil's going to get all the favours, and yeah, I love her where she's going to be in the run. Yep, she'll do me.
Who's the one to beat, Carps?
Well, I don't think you should ever let a barrier draw put you off your original thought, Michael. And researching for this, I found out that Tullock actually won the Cox Plate from the outside barrier in 1960 and broke the Australasian record. So I think Russian Camelot, even though he's drawn the outside, will still prevail on Saturday. But it's a fantastic, fantastic race, befitting of the 100th Cox Plate, and any more than half a dozen of them can win.
And Michael, who will you be handing the gold-plated Cox Plate to?
I think the $200,000 solid gold Cox Plate to commemorate Ladbroke's Cox Plate 100 may make its way back to Ireland. I'm in Dwayne's camp. I think Armoury is the right horse. Aiden knows what it takes to win a Cox Plate. He sent out 2 3-year-olds before Adelaide. He sent a better one the year after Highland Reel when he ran into Winx. And I think he's picked the right horse this year to win this historic Cox Plate.
We can't wait for the countdown. Gents, it's been great to relive the memories over the last few weeks and the culmination with the greatest performance. Brian, Dwayne, appreciate your time, and Greg as well. And Michael, best of luck on Saturday, the running of the 100th Ladbrokes Cox Plate.
Thanks, Michael.
Pleasure, Michael.